Thank you very much for joining me on the Money Man Report, and wherever you are listening. First of all, I'll introduce the players. My co-host is Joe Kinahan. He's here with me in Chicago, right on top of the, well, on the 40th floor of the Chicago Board of Trade. Well, the Chicago Board Options Exchange is the building we're actually in. It's right across the street from the Board of Trade and the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. And from, I'm not sure where, is David Merkel. He's a columnist with the Street.com, and he wrote a very interesting story. Let me start out by talking about David Merkel, welcome to the show, first of all. Let's just
thank you.
Say
thank you. I'm based outside Baltimore.
Isn't it a strange world, you know, where just all these people from all over the place do that? Okay. I'm so enthusiastic about all this. I just love to do it. Here's the cycle for a real estate investor. At 63 years old, I can tell you, having been through it, you see a lot of people back in the 80s and maybe 20, 30 years before that get really, really rich picking up bargain real estate. The people in multi-million-dollar homes who bought them for $600,000, that's the millionaire next door. And a lot of people get really, really rich buying these bargains. But when you notice people doing that, you don't have any money. Here you are watching it and thinking, God, I wish I could do that. And so what has to happen is you have to go through a whole cycle and work your way up and get it to the point where you've done something significant, where you've been able to amass at least some surplus and some ability to get your hand on some resources. And the next time it happens, here you are, years and years and years later, the next time you get a bottom in real estate. Now, there are different kinds of speculators, because the speculators that are going to buy at the bottom of this real estate cycle are way different from the people who were buying the flip addicts who were trying to do it in 2005 right at the top. David Merkel, is that fair?
That is very fair, and that fits the paradigm for both the top article that I wrote in 2005 and the bottom article that I wrote just a week ago. And we'll see. Simply because now all of the people coming in and doing the homework are very measured speculators who are looking to see if they can have positive cash flow on their real estate. Until you get to a case where you have positive cash flow in a decent way, you don't typically have a decent bottom that you bounce off of.
Which is very similar to the educated way that that Joe was going to buy Citigroup in the last segment. He wants to buy it with somebody else's money. He's looking for the low-risk way to buy it. And this is the same thing. These are people that are not emotionally feeling they have a right to profit no matter what. These are people who realize that they got to really think it through, be really careful about it, and try to position themselves well. It's more the positioning than the excitement of the trade. Is that right?
I would agree. In 2005, most people who were playing in real estate, and I emphasize playing, needed capital gains often to keep their positions afloat. The people who will be speculating over the next 3 years as they look at properties, they will say, okay, I've got positive cash flow today. I can afford to sit and wait. And eventually the capital gains will come. And then when the turn actually happens, it could be quite significant for them.
And they're going to get positive cash flow because they're going to steal these buildings now, because somebody is going to be out of money, hit a wall, and they're going to step in, not because they're just getting a good deal, but because they're the only guy with money in the room.
This is true. And they will then rent it out, and to the extent that they're able to borrow at favorable terms, which is hard today, that's what makes it a little more difficult. But still, they will try to profit on the arbitrage between what they're able to rent it out at and their own cost of funds.
Now, favorable terms is difficult, you say, and that's because, number one, the rents aren't really high right now.
Nope.
The economy is soft, and so it's not that easy to find. It's not a seller's market.
Yes, and you don't have such favorable underwriting terms with the banks. They're insisting on a lot more down. They are asking for higher rates. They are a little more quizzical about investors than they were, say, 3 years ago when a lot of things got slipped under the door. They And finally, you have a lot fewer lenders out there when you consider all the mortgage lenders, the standalone mortgage lenders that have imploded, and even some bank lenders that have basically been gobbled up and they're not doing as much business. I can tell you Bank of America plus Countrywide are not doing as much business today as they were separately 3 years ago. And that's a mirror of the whole market.
There's just no... Right. I guess you're writing this article because you think we are somewhere near the bottom. We are near the place where you should be starting to look at accumulating real estate.
You have to ask...
Because when you wrote the one about the top, it was near probably almost to the day when the last person bought at the top.
Yeah, that one was in May 2005. What I've seen was the actual top by the measurements was October of 2005. I left myself enough wiggle room that I thought it would be in the next year. For this, I've basically said it. A lot depends. You know, you probably have seen in other markets like the stock market that when you have a big shoot up, you rarely come back just to trend. You usually shoot a little under. Well, in this case, if we're just coming back to trend, you need a 10% decline in prices, and this isn't every market in the country. I think Texas, just as an example, it's a pretty good market. And the area of Maryland that I'm in, it's a pretty good market. But a lot of other areas of the country that shot up a lot more, Florida, California, Nevada, those have more pain to take, certain parts of New England. So, but for the nation as a whole, you need 10% to come back to trend. 20%, and that means you probably hit the bottom, absolutely. But even then, you have credible forecasters like Fitch that have said 25%. And even Credit Suisse versus Boston today, they said something like 15%. So they're, but then you had Goldman
that's
today.
That's how much more the housing market has to go down before it becomes that unbelievable buy we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. One other quick note. That when we do hit bottom, it's likely to be a slow recovery on the whole. And the reason for that is that you're going to have a lot of people who have held their properties off the market, who have said, I'm just not going to show this thing because I'm not getting anything near what I want. And as things begin to recover, they're finally going to go, yes, here's my chance. And, you know, if you have the resources at that time, it will take a bit of time, but, you know, you will have your opportunities.
When we come back, here's what I want to cover, because the thing that interested me so much about what you were writing is this is not simply the mirror image of the article you wrote about the top in 05. This is because the bottom is not just the mirror image of the top. The conditions are very different. And so I want you to explain how the bottom works and why. Well, there are a lot of differences in housing, house prices. For example, you only have 10% in it, and so you get wiped out if it goes down 10%. There are a lot of differences, and we're going to talk about those with David Merkel when we come back. This is the Money Man Report. Stay with us.